Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Hello, coaches, and welcome to the Home Team Podcast, where football coaches from around the country provide the coaching community with improvements to their game plans for winning as a husband and a father. Today, we're going to be speaking with Coach Samuels. Coach Samuels is most notably the editor at the Football Scoop and has been so since 2011. This year, he was recently named the head coach at Comstock Park High School in Michigan. Over the past two seasons at Ravenna, Michigan, Coach had compiled a 13-7 record as a head coach, including an 8-3 campaign last year. Coach Samuels also played collegiate football at Defiance College in Ohio, and he's had stops as an assistant coach at Holton, Shelby, Grand Rapids, Forest Hills, Northern, and Holland West, Ottawa. Coach Samuels' talk today focuses on a Glazier Clinic talk that he gave that has received a lot of interest from him. He's noted in the podcast that he's received over 100 direct messages on Twitter asking him how his staff manages their weekends and does so with a variety of technology tools. It was great to talk to Coach about this process and how he's refined it over the years. And I'm excited for our listeners to get to hear how you can manage your weekends as a high school staff to give your staff more freedom to be with their families and to collaborate in a different way. Looking forward to hearing from Coach Samuels. Hey, Coach Samuels, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Joel.
Let's jump right in and start talking about the stars of your home team, beginning with your wife. How did you meet this special woman?
My wife and I meeting is actually kind of a funny story. We met online, eHarmony. We both did the eHarmony thing, and she actually sent me the first message, which was a change of pace. But the reason she sent me a message was my profile picture. We had just gotten done with the Football Scoop tour of the Big Ten, a bunch of Big Ten facilities, and I'm a big Michigan State fan, so when we were in East Lansing, took a picture with Coach D'Antonio in his office, and I used that as my profile picture so I could ward off kind of some of the Michigan fans because I didn't want to deal with any of that. And also, if you knew who Coach D'Antonio was, like, that's a great check on the box. So she sent me a message, and we kind of joke around when we talked for a while before we actually met up, and she jokes around that she showed up hoping it was Coach D'Antonio and not me, and she was disappointed. But there's not many people that have a Big Ten head coach or FBS head coach as part of their meetup story. So I'm waiting for the right opportunity to share that with Coach D'Antonio someday, but I think he'll get just as much of a kick out of it as we do. But, we'll be married for almost 5 years here in May, and she's made a ton of sacrifices, like every coach's wife does throughout the years, helping me, support me to chase my dream of being a high school football coach. And, we had to sacrifice quite a bit that the last 2 years I was at Ravenna High School. When I took the job, we had about an 18-month-old, and she was 8 months pregnant with our second child. So she had the baby, I think, on a Friday or Saturday, and 4 or 5 days later, she was at a game an hour and 20 minutes away with a 4-day-old baby. So she's a rock star, an absolute rock star.
That's awesome. What's a character trait or quality that makes her so special to you?
She's flexible. Mm-hmm. There's always a give and take like there is in any marriage. And, I think especially when you're a head coach and, you want to get up in the weight room and be around the kids in the morning, but, your wife's got a workout schedule in the morning. There's got to be some give and take there. So she's been really flexible as far as she's got a very demanding career. She's a director of human resources. So she really sacrifices a lot for me to kind of chase this dream. And, she knows why I'm in it and why I love doing it. And that makes it a little easier, but still she's very flexible and let me chase that dream.
Okay. Let's get to the other stars of your home team, your kids. I mean, maybe their names, their ages, and what makes each of them so unique to you.
Yeah. So Griffin is 3, and he's towards my head coaching career. He's been through it all, and he grew up as a Ravenna Bulldog, and we really enjoyed our 2 years there. And in all honesty, when I was considering the you know, my new head coaching job. I've been on the job like a month or two. Comstock Park High School here in Michigan on the north side of Grand Rapids. I thought he was going to be the toughest one to you know, get to make the move, because he loved his blow and bite. He loved being a bulldog. He had really, you know, at 2 and 3 years old, had some really unique connections with kids on the team, and, you know, always had a tradition after the game to give nuts to everyone on their way off the field, and the kids looked forward to, or the players looked forward to it. So I figured he was going to be the toughest one to convince that this is the move, but he was all in. And like I said, we're big Michigan State fans. Comstock Park's green, so that made the transition a little easier. And he's been all in there. He hasn't been up to see the field or anything like that. It's still pretty new. And then Grady's about 18 months, and you know, he just started saying football recently, so he doesn't really know what's going on, but he's a football lover for sure.
Coach, the reason we had connected on Twitter was we had seen, you seem to be getting a lot of traction with a recent talk you did at a Glazier Clinic that focuses on a series in our podcast that we usually call Clock Management, and that's on spending how you spend your time blending family and football. So I thought it'd be great if you and I could really just get into the how-to of that. I read your article. I thought it was phenomenal, and I think it's a message that, you know, I've had the chance to talk to Coach Brad Dixon, talk about Feed the Coaches. You know, even Coach Hines out in California is a big proponent of, you know, taking the day off on the weekend. But I think it'd be really good if we could just kind of, you know, go through, you know, what your thought process was behind this weekend schedule and some of the how-tos of how to do it right. So I guess just let's start out with, you know, what was your motivation to start, you know, sort of a weekend off approach to your program?
So, you know, I kind of touched on in the article a little bit, but, you know, I remember getting the call from Urbana. It was my first time being offered a head coaching job. And, you know, for a young family and myself, it was going to be a 40-minute commute up there. There's very few jobs I would have considered driving 40 minutes for, and Urbana was one of those. It's a, you know, a small town, rich tradition in the league that I grew up playing in. And the people there were just really special. So when I got off the phone, I broke down and cried. I think, you know, a lot of head coaches probably do the same thing when they get that first call. It's an emotional deal. You put so much time into it to have it pay off. It can get a little bit emotional. And I got off the phone and I looked at my wife and said, they offered me the job. And, you know, she's sitting there 8 months pregnant like, crap. Now my husband's going to be driving 40 minutes there, 40 minutes back, like this sounds like a nightmare, I'm sure she's thinking. So you know, I knew at that point that in order for me to take the job, there was going to have to be some concessions made on both of our parts. And really, as I put together the staff, there's a handful of guys that, you know, live in town or have kids on the team that did a great job helping us out. But we're also pulling some guys from, you know, 20, 30 minutes away. And I think my connections with working with Football Scoop definitely helped in that. And people wanted to be a part of, you know, Urbana football. That certainly was a factor in it as well. But, you know, the more I thought about it, the more I was like, you know, it's not going to be do me and my marriage and my ability to be a good father any justice to, you know, drive up to Urbana 6-7 days a week. That's going to put some unneeded strain, you know, on the family life, and the same can probably be said for my assistants. For the guys that live in town, it's not a big deal, but you're asking a lot for a lot of guys, and most of them aren't even paid anything to do something like that. So, you know, I knew there had to be a better way. I knew, you know, just looking around the coaching profession, I think that so many of us want to be on the cutting edge of offense or defense, you know, coverages and things like that, but when it comes to, you know, how we came up in the profession and who we learn from, we just kind of latch on to that and don't really give the second thought. And with the way technology is right now, with, you know, the Google Drive, the cloud, you know, harnessing Slack and things like that, I figured there was a way to do it efficiently from home. It was just a matter of trying to figure out that process. So the first year of Urbana was, you know, kind of touch and go, or not really touch and go, but, you know, it was a trial.
Yep.
You know, trial and error type deal. So we really utilized Slack. That was really big. But, you know, after that first year at Urbana, we went 5-4. And I didn't feel like I did a great job coaching the coaches, coaching my staff. So we made a few changes here and there. And I spent some time in that off season trying to get ahead with some Google Drive stuff and you know, making templates and setting things up so that when fall comes, we're ready to go. So, you know, I did kind of a scout card template and put that together and put it in a folder, invited all the coaches, all the defensive coaches that would be doing scout card stuff to that. But I really put in a lot of time, you know, during the summer when things are a little slow for the scoop, there's not a whole lot of coaching change stuff going on. I did a lot of the groundwork then. And I also kind of had the idea of, because we had made some coaching changes and, you know, I really felt like this past year could have been a really special year for us heading into it with the kids we had back staff. But I put together a weekly workflow and kind of very specific expectations for each one of the coaches, you know, come Saturday and Sunday. If we're not going to be all in the office at once, then here's what I want you guys to do when you're at home. So, you know, everything was very laid out in black and white, kind of gave them kind of a weekly workflow Sunday through Friday, really, and kind of what was expected. And every one of them got that at the staff meeting. And you know, the thing that I really liked about doing things through Slack in that way is you know, I mentioned in the article, there's a digital footprint. So, you know, at the end of the year, if we decide that, you know, the wide receivers coach or the DBs coach, you know, didn't perform well on the field, they weren't putting the prep in that I kind of outlined and expected, then we can go back and see all of that through our Slack history, through, you know, with the weekly suggestion sheets that I would send out and things like that. It was huge. So really that the jump from the first year to the second year, I felt like I could coach my coaches a lot better. I think especially at the small high school level, you need to do that. You need to help bring those guys along. So doing things the way that we had at Ravana was really good. It's something that I'll be able to kind of carry with me for the rest of my career.
Let's get into a little bit of, you know, the article talks about, so there's a lot of good stuff on here. Maybe just break down the Saturday, Sunday, Monday, you know, just so guys can kind of get into it. But I think when coaches think about it, you know, kind of sounds like 2 days off. It's not just like time off, right? It's just, you know, like I remember talking to Coach Lewis at Kent State, like we're just, you know, work when your kids are sleeping or work when you're,
exactly.
You know, work,
yep.
Work when it works for you. But what is the thought process of, you know, kind of what you're looking for from a guy on Saturday? What does a Sunday look like? How does that wrap into Monday when you guys get all back together? And then how does practice flow so, you know, so it can be efficient and everyone's on the same page going into game plan install?
Yep. So Saturday for me, I'm pretty plugged in college football wise. I mean, I'll watch our game from Friday with games going in the background, but so much of my job is knowing what's happening in college football, you know, between coordinators and head coaches and assistants that I really need to be pretty plugged in on Saturday, flipping through a bunch of games. So I tell my coaches and I tell our team the same thing, like watch college football on Saturday. You know, if you see something great, you know, everyone's kind of got TiVo or whatever you want to call it now, DVR. Rewind it, video it, put it in Slack, you know, put some keywords with it. So if we want to go back and reflect on that in 3 weeks when we play our rival, you know, we can do that. Slack's a great, great deal for that. Also, you know, want my guys to be on social media, you know, between guys like Dan Casey or Spread Offense or whoever that may be, they're sharing.
Yep.
All the latest and greatest going on during games and catch a lot of things. So taking that kind of stuff, put it in Slack and just kind of using that as kind of a brainstorm session is what sure. We utilize Slack for on Saturday. But I don't expect a whole lot from guys on Saturday. Now Sunday, again, dig in a little bit more, like you said, you know, but dig in when it's convenient for you, when, you know, you're, you know, after church or, you know, when your kids are taking a nap or your wife took them on a play date or whatever, you know, everyone's schedule's so different. Just be able to dig in when you can, add to that offensive suggestion sheet when you can. You know, for the defensive guys, I want them to, you know, along with myself, be labeling the formations, try and get a first run through of their, you know, run scheme stuff, their explosive plays. And we would send a lot of stuff into huddle assist, but I found that that's so hit or miss. It's a whole different story. But we want to find the explosive plays and their formation stuff, tendency stuff on Sunday is really what we're looking for. So that's kind of the first run through is finding all that stuff. And, you know, offensive guys, I want them to fill in the suggestion sheet. So you're watching the upcoming opponent. What do you like? What formations do you like? Is there new stuff we can add? Is there a tweak to a route concept that could get these guys? And then I also want right under the don't like column is stuff, or stuff that they like is the don't like column. So I can hop on there and be like, hey, you know, our empty set isn't going to be any good this week, or, you know, we need to be more of a slide protection team this week. So, you know, stuff like that, stuff that they, you know, stuff we need to stay away from. So now when I go to make the script on Tuesday, the play call script for practice, I know what my guys like, what they don't like. And really those guys are as tied in as you can be to their players. So, you know, the quarterback's guy has got a really good beat on the quarterback, but, you know, I'm not necessarily working with all the time. So he knows what he likes and what he's comfortable with. So, and I really think that, and I've been a part of staffs where you feel like your opinion isn't valued. And that's one of the main reasons guys leave jobs is they don't feel valued. So you need to find a way to give your coaches a voice. And for us, that's our weekly suggestion sheet is, and again, that's a digital footprint. So in 6 weeks, if, you know, our quarterbacks guys are filling stuff out for 4 weeks, we got a problem. And that's on me to not let it get that far. But that's really Sunday, digging into that kind of stuff. Monday, we backed off this past year and made it more mental day. Our staff structure is we've got an offensive staff and a defensive staff. We don't have a varsity staff and a JV staff. So, you know, Tuesday is an offensive emphasis day. We'll spend two-thirds of the practice on offense. And about two-thirds of the way through, we'll switch. And the defensive guys will come work with the varsity. And the offense will work with JV. So that way, in theory, those guys are hearing those same coaching points for 4 years. And you're getting great quality instruction. So that's our Tuesday, but Monday's heavy on film. I harp really hard on championship effort, and I know Florida, they say relentless effort, but to me, championship effort is unmistakable. If you want to win a conference title or a state title, it looks a certain way. So, you know, we want to point out, though, we'll have a cut up every Monday with our championship effort plays and plays that are unacceptable. So guys see it every day when they come in on Monday. So we go through that. We watch, you know, a little bit of game film. I'm not a guy that's going to sit there and watch the game film with them from beginning to end. I want cut ups so that we got stuff we can teach from all the time. And then, you know, from there, we'll go out and we'll do a walkthrough and kind of a fix-it session. Actually, before we go out, if there's anything new we're going to introduce that week, we're going to go through it on the whiteboard, talk through it, you know, show examples of college teams running it from Saturday, that kind of stuff. And then we'll go out on the field and we'll walk through it. And then by Tuesday, we'll be able to run through it. So, you know, I think it's kind of the Nick Saban belief in that you go through it in a meeting room, you walk through it, and then you can execute it at full speed. That's kind of the thought process we brought. But Monday, offensive, defensive walkthrough, installing anything new, walking through it. It's a little more than a traditional walkthrough. But, you know, the other really unique thing we do on Mondays is we do what we call a circle of pain. So at the end of practice, everyone circles up. And on Sunday, the other thing we ask coaches to do is to watch that game film and count all the loafs and softs of players and missed assignments. So they chart all of those and then chart all their championship effort plays. So anyone that played in that game the previous Friday will come to the middle of the circle one by one. I'll go through numerically and I'll call Doug Samuels to the middle and I'll whisper in his ear the number of loafs or softs or missed assignments he had. Say it's seven. So he has to stand in front of his teammates and be accountable for his actions on a Friday and say, hey, my name is Doug Samuels. I let the team down seven times. And then I'll chime in as a coach and say, hey, he had five championship effort plays, so you guys owe two down-ups. So I get him chopped and we do two down-ups and then it's on to the next guy. But, you know, it's building in the immediate accountability for your performance on Friday. that's been really good for us. And the really cool thing is, as you know, you make a playoff run or something. I've been part of staffs that have done it, but you know, make it to the semis. You start with guys that have more championship effort plays than missed assignments. So now you start adding stuff to the bank.
Yep.
And you end up in the plus column, which is really kind of a cool thing. So, awesome. So that's kind of what our Monday looked like. And then Tuesday's offensive emphasis, Wednesday's defensive emphasis, Thursday, you know, the traditional walkthrough, and then Friday's payday.
Coach, you know, this is with the, like you said, with all the technology, you talk about Slack and workflow and cloud and Google Drive and templates. Has any of your staff had a hard time adjusting to this thought process or getting on board with, you know, maybe not meeting in person and kind of doing things independently?
Yeah. So, you know, when I came into Ravana, they had been a power I team for, I think, 30 or 35 years. Okay. So I come in, we're running, you know, spread, no huddle, RPO, you know, stuff. So a lot of things changed very fast. So we went through some growing pains that first year. I can remember sitting down and having a talk with one of my coordinators and being like, hey, you know, we were playing a triple option team, and I think Sunday I kind of asked what the plan is on Slack. All Sunday I didn't get an answer. Monday's walkthrough I didn't get an answer. And like, we had to sit down and be like, hey man, this, like, you knew this going in. We're going to communicate on Slack. We're not going to waste time sitting down in meetings and stuff. And he didn't even realize that there was a message. So, you know, I think the guys that have a harder time with it are sometimes the older guys that have just kind of done things a certain way for a long time. But I just see tremendous value in it. I think, you know, giving guys more time to spend around their family and work on their own accord takes some trust. But I think it helps to create that culture of accountability that's very valuable.
Coach, maybe you want to talk us through some of the results you've seen. You said you always went 5-4. I think your first year, seems like you guys, obviously, you know, I think a lot of guys are wondering, well, you know, am I grinding hard enough? Am I, you know, this may be easy to devil's advocate and be like, oh, if I had done something differently. You know, maybe talk about the results, and if you've ever had a time when maybe you thought to yourself, maybe this isn't the right thing to do, or maybe we need to go harder, and maybe what got you in or out of that thought process?
No, I really haven't waffled back and forth about it a whole lot. You know, going into this first season at Comstock Park, I've got a handful of guys that, you know, have been a part of state title teams. So they've you know, been on staffs that have won, I think, 6 combined straight titles, which is impressive. So I think part of the human nature of being a coach is you second guess yourself to a degree. So, you know, those guys have been a part of it and kind of reached the pinnacle of what we all hope to do as coaches. So, you know, is there more merit to what they do, or, you know, did they just have a special group of kids and a special coaching staff? And it wasn't kind of the perfect storm. So, you know, that's something that I've kind of encountered here the past month or so. Because I think my defensive coordinator now, I think he is a meeting guy, which, you know, I'm not completely against meetings. I think if you can lead efficient meetings, great. But I'm not for wasting time. So if we can find a more efficient way to do it, which I think we have, I don't think it takes long for people to see the value of it. You know, when you're spending more time around your kids on Saturday and Sunday than you are, you know, wasting time in a staff meeting with the game in the background and people checking their fantasy, you know, their fantasy points on their phone. I don't think it takes guys very long to see the value in that.
If guys aren't doing this yet and want to implement it, what do you think is the best way to start that process? Could a coordinator be a guy that implements this change? Does it only have to come from the head coach down? Where's a good first place to start? Do you think you've obviously put a lot of work and time into making this efficient for your staff and for your team? So what recommendations do you have for listeners?
Yeah. So, you know, I think I really started doing it as in my first year as an offensive coordinator, 3 years ago, like actually calling the plays with the offensive coordinator title. And, you know, I think you have to have a head coach that's on board with it. And, you know, if he's a staunch meeting guy, I don't think it's worth rocking the boat to try and get your head coach to change. But you know, I think taking baby steps, if you find yourself in that situation, and you know, the way we started it was just setting up the Slack channel, and we, you know, even with Football Scoop, we use the free Slack. I'm not even sure what the paid Slack does for you extra, but you know, the free version does everything you need it to. You know, you can integrate your Google Drive right on it, your Twitter right on it, so that you're able to grab tweets and play them right in the Slack platform without having to leave to Twitter. But that's really how I started, was just kind of getting my young head coach on board with Slack. So now, you know, we see stuff throughout the offseason we really like. We just plug it into the offense or defense channel and can reflect on it for forever. You know, we ever need a trick play, we can kind of scroll back and look through those. But that's how it started for us. And then it just kind of blossomed from there with me kind of branching out and finding new ways to do it. I'm certainly not the first one to do it. I just think we have a great system set up for it. And really, I want to be on the cutting edge of everything from strength conditioning to, you know, mental training to things like that. And I think a lot of coaches are the same way. And I think this is kind of the next wave, is guys understanding how to utilize technology and making the profession stronger because of it. So, you know, start with Slack, I would say that, and then trying to find ways to get ahead of things in the off season with, you know, creating templates and things like that. You know, I gave a lot of ideas in that article that we do. I kind of scratched the surface, but the response that I've gotten from that article is unreal. I've got over 100 unread DMs, and I've never had that in an article I've ever written for Football Scoop. So, you know, the hunger and the, you know, the curiosity is there for how to change. It's just a matter of starting to take steps in the right direction to do that.
Awesome. Well, Coach, I really appreciate your time. I would like to end with a question. I think this is, you know, really pertinent to what we do, is really talking about leaving a legacy. And I think you're trying to do that, you know, not just how to coach and how to lead coaches and giving them their time back. But the question I always ask at the end is called victory formation. And it talks about the outside world, when they look at a coach, we usually judge them based on the wins and losses or accomplishments of their players. But the potential legacy a coach can have on his players and his family is much more than anything that can really be measured. And what legacy or impact are you striving to create through coaching that you couldn't do in any other profession?
I think it's giving kids the tools to confidently and courageously deal with adversity. You know, there's times in everyone's life when you're going to hit an adverse situation. And I think sports and football specifically are a great way to teach that. First and foremost, I want my kids to have great memories of playing football, but I also want them to have the tools to confront adversity when life throws them at them. I think those are the two words. You know, I could lose every game as a head coach and still live a happy life, but I think the worst thing for a coach is number one, if you're graduating players and they don't have positive memories playing for you, and then number two, if they leave your program and don't have the tools to deal with what real life throws at them in terms of adversity, I think those are the two worst things, that like nightmare situations for me as a coach. Those are right up there as my biggest fears. So, you know, that's what I want my legacy to be.
Awesome. And what's the best way for guys to reach out to you if they have more questions about what we talked about today?
Yeah, so Twitter, even though the DM inbox is a little full right now, is probably the way I'm most active, at Coach Sams with a Z. That's probably the best way to get at me.
Okay. Sounds good, Coach. We really appreciate your time. It's been an awesome session, really, on the how-tos of organizing your weekend schedule to be effective. And we hope more guys will take advantage of what you created and build on it and make it even better and be useful for their staffs and, more importantly, for their families. So we appreciate it.
Thanks for the opportunity, Gerald. Anytime, man.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out all we're doing on Twitter at FBDEV Coach. Follow me on Twitter at Coach K Grabowski. And check out our systems for tackling, blocking, and defeating blocks at footballdevelopment.com.
thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.